The following is a King's Chapel, Alaska presentation with Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion's making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's call and help us be the personal, powerful, permeating church God's called us to be. For more information, visit kcalaska.com or find us on Facebook. Here's Pastor Daniel.
Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew. We started a series in dealing with what I see to be as ruling spirits and principalities over the United States of America. And I'm not sure what to call a series. We preached on the destroyer. How many of you remember that text? Well, you'll remember this message, I believe. It's a powerful one. Matthew, God's touched my heart through this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Thank you, Austin. What a blessing having you. Praise the Lord. We'll read two sections of scripture, two texts. Matthew 6, 19 through 24, for those of you online. Luke 16, verse 9 through 13. We do have notes for you. Very important message tonight. Brace yourself. Starting with Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust. You know what happened is I got the little King James in there. Moth and rust doth destroy. All right, let's try that again. Verse 19, Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, for neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Read that with me. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Therefore the light that is in you is darkness. How great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Say that with me, that last part. You cannot serve God and mammon. Turn now to Luke. Luke chapter 16. Luke. I am your father. Okay, Luke 16. Just kidding, making sure you're paying attention. Praise God. Saint Luke 16, find verse 9. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting home. Verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Say it again. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light upon our path. Speak to us out of the volume of your word, and may we never be the same because of tonight's message. Speak to those that are online. Use the podcast, God, to go across to even nations. And I thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As Christians, we face real forces, spiritual forces of wickedness, of darkness. That's just part of living. That's part of breathing. And they really have a desire to control us. They do. And if you don't have this, if you've never heard this message, this type of thing, that we've preached along these lines many times, but you need to understand you're in a war. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you're in a war. Yes, you have enlisted. You're in a war. And I'm thankful that, like David, the shepherd boy with a harp in his hand, was used by God after picking up 5 smooth stones. He sank the stone into the head of Goliath, a champion of Gath, terrifying and taunting the armies of the Lord. And yet David comes out. He said, I'd killed the lion, I'd killed the bear, and I'm drop you with a head that big, I can't miss. So he runs out there and sinks the stone. I want you to know tonight that Jesus has defeated darkness, disease, infirmity. I want to remind you that his death, his resurrection, he triumphed over darkness, led captivity captive, as the scripture says. And so what Jesus did on the cross defeated every demon. And for that, you ought to just get excited. I was so encouraged last Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, as we broke our all-time records for attendance and touched more people in this week than we've ever touched in the history of our church here in Alaska. How can these demons, these spirits, if you will, these forces of darkness affect the believer? Through our minds. Through our minds. Fill in the blank. 2 Corinthians 10. And now let me say, I'm so sorry to all the children and the families. I know you come on Tuesdays to have your children ministered to. And I'm so thankful for our wonderful children's ministry. But there's a number of things that took place that removed our volunteers. And it would have ended up with Minister Micah and 30 kids. And that would not be good. I mean, everybody say amen. So that's not happened too many times before, and we pray and trust it not happen again, because I know it's important for you as well as for your kids. But kids, listen up. I'm going to talk about some cool stuff. How can demon spirits affect the believer? Through our minds. Through our what? Through our minds. 2 Corinthians 10, this is a scripture that you ought to memorize. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, would say on the contrary. On the contrary, they have divine power. What kind of power? Divine power to demolish strongholds. And then verse 5 begins to define what a stronghold is. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Arguments, pretension, knowledge. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. How does demon spirits, how can the enemy really affect us? Really through affecting our minds and our thinking. And if you learn to take every thought captive, you'll live in victory all the days of your life by the power of the name of Jesus and his spirit. So tonight I want to talk to you about the spirit of mammon. Mammon. 2 times in the text, well, we read Matthew and then we read Luke, so two different times they're mentioning the spirit of mammon. What is the spirit of mammon? Is mammon a spirit? Well, as we read Matthew, it seems that Jesus personifies mammon in the text. He says you can't serve both God and mammon, so it's an entity of some sort. Two masters, God and mammon. Now, mammon's not money. Money can have a spirit of mammon on it. You know, money talks. Money can talk. It's a $50 bill. 50 bucks. You ready? You ready? There we go. Yeah, it's talking right now. Well, let's see if it can talk a little louder. I didn't get this illustration until I was in worship. Otherwise, I'd have had a few hundreds. Hallelujah. Money talks. Money talks. It has a spirit on it. Touch it, you're in big trouble. That thing's speaking right now. It's only 50 bucks, but 50 bucks is 50 bucks. Mammon is an Aramaic word that's brought over into the Greek text, not unlike when Jesus hung on the cross. You remember he hung on the cross and he said, he spoke in Aramaic. And it's translated there, Eli, Eli, Sabathani. It's Aramaic. My God, why have you forsaken me? Is a translation. It's not translated in the text. It's Aramaic. And mammon is an Aramaic word. And like the words that Jesus spoke, Aramaic, it has unique meaning. It's not an Aramaic by accident. It's on purpose. Throughout church history, they saw mammon as a demon spirit. Let me give you some history. Gregory of Nyssa saw mammon as a spirit using these texts. St. Augustine, how many of you heard of St. Augustine? St. Augustine saw mammon as a spirit. Have you ever heard of Paradise Lost? Milton wrote that. Milton's Paradise Lost. It's this picture of this demon that's over wealth. Among pagan religions, look at D. Among pagan religions, there were gods associated with wealth. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Is that 50 bucks still talking? Or is it shut up now? First Corinthians 10 verse 19. The Apostle Paul really saw idols as being demon spirits, and that those who worship him really were worshiping demons. Y'all there? I'm almost there. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything or is offered to idols anything? Rather, that these things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons. To who? To demons. And not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Oh, you cannot, verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Let me read the Message version. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. Do you see the difference? Sacrifices offered to idols are offered to nothing. For what is an idol but a nothing? Or worse than nothing, a minus, a demon. I do not want you to become part of something that reduces you to less than yourself. You cannot have it both ways, banqueting with the master one day and slumming with demons the next. Besides, the master won't put up with it. He wants us all or nothing. Wow. The only thing I don't like about the Message version is it sort of waters down the fact that what are offered to idols is nothing. What is an idol but a nothing? Really, Paul is saying this. That what's behind idols are demon spirits. And when you bow down to them, when you worship them, you're worshiping that demon. And you can't worship both God and mammon. The Greeks had a god, Plutus. How many of you heard of Pluto, the dog? The dog in Disney? The dog in Disney is named after, is named after the god of wealth. And so there was a god of wealth. And if you know, those Greek gods, if you would go and worship that particular Greek god, you would go and worship them, and then so you could have whatever they were gods of. How lame. So you would worship this Plutos, and then the idea is that you would become wealthy. And so it seems that Jesus speaks about, really, this mammon being a demon god or a demon spirit. How does the spirit of mammon affect us? How does the spirit of mammon affect us? Look at your notes. Historically, now this is just a little bit of history from the United States of America and a shallow attempt at it. But when you look at the Civil War, the Civil War was not so much about black and white. Although you'll see that, it was about money. It was absolutely about money. Oh, they were racist, there's no doubt. But if you study the Civil War, you will find that the slave owners, the majority of their resource was not land, it was slaves. They had more money in slaves than even the cost of their own land. And if you were going to take away slavery, you would be taking the majority of their finances. It was about money. Oh, it was about, you know, I mean, there's prejudice and all that. It was a horrible, horrible crime. And President Lincoln said that the Civil War was our judgment from God for the slavery and for that crime, really, which was worship of mammon. That money was more important than human beings. That's what that is. And that's the way that spirit is. And our nation is riddled with it. And I'll point to some things that are going to make you maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but, you know, we're not here for comfort. Come on, smile at me. Praise the Lord. How many are thankful in church? Amen. You know, the meat of the word, there's milk and there's meat. You know what meat is? Meat is when you hear it, it hits you. And it causes you to respond. Affects you. It's not shallow, it's deep. It brings conviction or encouragement, strengthening. Meat of the word. There's some meat up in here. There's wars that have been fought over for money. Gambling is one of the ways that mammon operates. And we don't have a lot of gambling that I am aware of here in Alaska, but I'm sure there's some. And I know there used to be poker houses and all kinds of stuff years ago. And there probably still is. But gambling is wicked. Spurgeon, that tremendous preacher, Spurgeon said this, that gambling was the greatest weapon used by the enemy to harden the hearts of people. Lady Luck. Lady Luck is mammon, really. Mammon attempts to cause us to define ourselves by how much we own. Let me say that again. Mammon attempts us to begin to define ourselves by what we have, by how much stuff we have. I saw a post on Facebook. It was everything I could do not to just rip that thing. The reason I don't do that as much as I really want to at times is I gotta then stick around for all the responses, answer all the responses, and just go through the whole thing. And honestly, I just don't have time for that. So I'll minister to the person directly instead of put it up on Facebook. That's a good discipleship note for some of you. Of course, nobody here. Maybe online. You post stuff on Facebook, you know, indirectly talking to people. That is image. You're just showing your own immaturity and need for healing and deliverance. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. So the statement was, he who gets the most toys wins. that is an old statement, and it's so far from true. We have defined people by what they have or what they don't have, and it's wicked and it's wrong, and it really is a spirit of mammon operating. People have been defined by how they look and how they dress and what they wear, how they talk, or their education. It's the spirit of the world, but it's also mammon. When I go to the South, you know, the South is an interesting place. You go to the South, they're preacher friends of mine, and it's just part of the culture, so I don't mean to knock them. But I was with this, you know, big shot preacher. I mean, he's humble, great man, and it's part of the culture there, so I understand, but it really shouted to me coming from a different culture being up here in Alaska. He introduced me to some other men of God, and he said this. He says, this is Daniel Bracken. Tremendous preacher, got a prophetic gift, went to Fordham University, played linebacker. He's really leading a great church up in Alaska. Great man of God, why don't you meet him? I got kicked out of Fordham University. I'm not even sure what he's talking about. You see, there's this whole thing, this whole spirit of the world and mammon, and I mean, it's terrible. It's a spirit. We demean people based on mammon. And fear and worry grip people because fear and worry is one of the main minions that thing uses to motivate people. Well, you'll never have enough. Oh, the sale. There's a sale. You've got to, it's on sale. And the sale's gonna end. Get down there and get that thing that you're gonna sell in a garage sale in about 6 months. Go get it! That's mammon yelling at you. Well, look at your neighbor and say, he's not talking to me, praise God. Hallelujah. He must be talking to somebody else. Mammon breaks the Ten Commandments. Some of the Ten Commandments anyway. You know, have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not covet, on and on and on. You can see how it fits in there. Mammon wants to clamp its talons into your heart, around your mind, so that you're enamored with everything that's new. Just got to have something shiny and new. It's all got to be new. That, you know, that was not that way 50 years ago in our nation. It just wasn't that way. You would use it, you wear it out, sew it. There was a greater sense of stewardship. Now it's like you got a hole in something, you toss it. You know, they don't do that anywhere else in the world. Did you know that? The Western civilization is the only ones that toss stuff because it got a little tear in it or a little. You know those cute patches on the end. You know those English blazers. You know, you ever seen those little elbow patches? That's all in style. Do you know what those are? Those are put there from a guy who wore a hole in his jacket, and they became in a little leather patch. So he put them on both sides, and yeah, that's because he wore the elbow out. All right. Living in victory over mammon. You've got to have good spiritual eyesight. What do you mean by that? Well, it goes on in the text we read. You got to have good spiritual eyesight about God. You have to understand who God is. Is it hot in here? Or okay, that's good. Can would you, Dan, go spin the fan for me, will you, son? You've got to have good eyesight about God. You have to have a clear understanding who God is. God is not desired for you to grovel or live in fear. God is a good God. He's not a child abuser. He's a good provider. He's a good provider. Consider the lilies of the field. They don't spin and they don't toil. And Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed in like one of these. Why do you worry? Why do you have fear, O ye of little faith? Why? Because that spirit of mammon uses fear to grip you, to think that, well, God's not going to really come through for you, that you better hold on to this thing. Ecclesiastes talks about him who withholds more than is due. He'll come to nothing. He'll end up, you know, grasps like grasping oil. Anybody ever try to grasp oil? You can't. It runs through your hands. God is a generous God. If your eyesight about who the Lord is confused, you think he's trying to take something from you. You think he's trying to beat you up. You think he's trying to, you know, withhold from you. You know, I'm so thankful that God didn't answer my prayers in my early walk. Lord, give me a lot of money. Oh, God, I need money. I didn't need money. I needed character. I needed the word of God. I needed integrity. I needed righteousness and holiness. If God had given me money, I'd have blown myself up somewhere. I'd just be dead somewhere. Some folks think that money is the answer to their problems. It is absolutely not. God is the solution to every problem that you have.
I've had people that say, well, if I just had more money, if I just had a better job. Listen, be a good steward, work hard, be faithful in the little things. It was in the text, he'll make you ruler over much. And by the way, the ruler over much is not just in this age. It's in the age to come. You got to live for another age. There's eternity. This is not it. This is a test. This is a test. This is like, you know, internship. 80 years, however long you live, and then you graduate, then the real thing comes. How are you doing? How are you doing in the test? Are you worried? You know, if you don't live right for God, then you've got something to worry about. But I mean, when you do your best, when he convicts you, you repent. You do your best before the Lord. You've got to have a clear eyesight, clear view of who God is. He's a good God. He's a generous God. He's a God of more than enough. Go look through Scripture over and over and over. 12 baskets the boy gets to take home. I think he took it home, by the way. 12 baskets left over from a sack lunch. He's a good steward. They just didn't let the stuff rot. They picked up all the fragments, and then I think he took it home to his mom, who got, you know, whatever. They had a luau that night or something. We've got to have the right view about ourselves. Some people say, well, I'm not happy. I've, you know, been counseling for many, many years, counseling couples, and the married couple that's the wife that says, he just doesn't make me happy anymore. Well, shock, shock. And then he says, she doesn't make me happy. Well, duh. Hello? Your joy, your happiness is not supposed to come from a human being anyway. And so if you begin to put all your eggs in the basket of somebody else making you happy, your eggs are all going to get busted. Why? Because a human being cannot complete you. Oh, but when you have Jesus, when you got Jesus down in the city of your soul, when you've been healed and touched and saved and set on fire, when you're in love with the one who made you, then it's easy to crucify yourself for your spouse. So many men are like, you need to respect me. R-E-S-P-C-T.
R-E-S-P-C-T.
Need some respect. You don't respect me. Woman needs to submit. Yeah, well, you need to get crucified. So have you been doing that? Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be like. Jesus is to the church, to your wife. You know what I found? I found that if I can serve my wife, if I can serve her like Christ, and God knows I got a long way to go. But if I do that, if I move in that direction, and I try to anticipate her need, and I'm not looking for her to give me my stuff or respect me, but I try to anticipate, I try to be like Christ. You know what I find? She's just bowing before me. Oh, you're the ball. Oh, you're so one. Not really bowing, but I mean, respect is instant. It just happens. It might not be instant because she might need some healing because you've been a jerk for so long. Okay. You have to have right eyesight about God. You have to have right eyesight about yourself. Understand that nobody will ever make you happy. There's joy in that relationship. It's wonderful in a marriage relationship. Such joy with my children. But it's really the Lord that satisfies me. We were singing it. Your love is better than wine. You alone satisfy. Settle that tonight. He is better. Your love is better than wine. His love is better than wine. In other words, the finest that the world has to offer, God's love is better than that. And he alone will satisfy you. And out of that relationship, then you'll be able to be a man of God or a woman of God. You'll be able to be a good husband, a good wife. Amen. Mammon tries to make you think that you're getting ripped off, that you don't get happiness. You're not getting what you deserve. Mammon, a spirit of mammon tries to get you to think that if you just had some more stuff, then you'd be happy. If you just had something from somebody else, then you'd be happy. It's totally a lie. If I just had that, then you'd be happy. No. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content with little and much. There's a spirit. You know, I want you to say to the person, just say it to the Lord, say, I'm immortal. Yeah, you are immortal and you're going to live forever. And where you live is determined upon the choices that you make, whether you live for Jesus, repent of your sin, and if you don't, then you end up in a place called hell, which is never created for you. It's never created for you. But if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus has come in the flesh, and you'll be saved, your sins are wiped out, atoned for, and heaven becomes your... You can't get to heaven any other way. You can't earn it. All this stuff, look around. Just look around you. All this stuff, this nice watch my mom gave me. Just think of all this stuff. Think about your car. What kind of car do you have? Think of something valuable that you have. Come on, just think about it. Think of the stuff that you have. Come on, what you got at home in the safe? Think about all the stuff you got. Think about what's the most valuable possession you have. What is it? What's the most, you don't have to say it out loud, but what is it? What's the most valuable possession you have? What is it? You got it? Or maybe it's a list of stuff. Great. It's all going to burn. All of that will not be around. It's all fading away. It's all going away. The only thing that is eternal is you and me. Relationships. People. People. John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branch. If man remains in me, he'll bear forth much fruit, and fruit that will remain. The only fruit that remains is that which is done for unto eternity, which has to do with people. Souls. Has nothing to do with stuff. Way, 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 way. Way, 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 way. It's just stuff. Everybody say it's all gonna burn. You're here to serve God. You're not here to serve or be master, serve the master mammon. If you worry and have fear about many things, you're gripped by that spirit. Those people don't tithe because they think that God's not going to provide for them. Yeah, really what you're worshiping is that $50 bill. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to be right back. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Daniel. You're helping me tonight. Hallelujah. Preach it. Preach it, Pastor. Oh, I'm getting touched. Ramahoga. Worship God. Don't worship stuff. Don't worship mammon. Don't worship people. Don't worship yourself. That's probably the biggest problem we have. The idol of self. Who's on the throne of your life? Look at B. We can move on before you all start passing out. Be a good steward. Everybody say, be a good steward. Luke 16. Turn there if you would. Go ahead. We have somebody manning the mighty computer. No. Okay. Luke 16. We're going to put it up. But I think the person back there has gone out in the spirit or something. Luke 16. Don't get them off the floor. It's okay. Just let them be ministered to. Luke 16. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you to your trust the true riches? Literally, we will defeat mammon. If we're going to defeat mammon, we have to be faithful with what God's already entrusted to us. And I've had some painful lessons here. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? I can't read that scripture and not be reminded of a tremendous time that God came through for me and my wife and my family when there was no way out. I mean, we were absolutely cornered. We were a day away from destruction. But I love how it says in the Old Testament, they were shut in that city, and Elijah the prophet says, by this time tomorrow, by this time tomorrow. I'm going to say, I don't know where you're at, what's going on in your life, but I'm going to tell you that God can bring you deliverance by this time tomorrow. You might be in the dungeon right now. He can make you second in command one day, and one day, and one day God can do a miracle for you. You need to hold that place in your heart. We were a day away from destruction, and God came through so miraculously. And he came through, and I was in prayer. That's how I finally got the breakthrough. I was in prayer, and I needed money. I mean, that was my perception, that is, I needed money. I mean, I did need money. I needed money for rent. I needed money for electric. I needed money for the phone. I needed money, 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 money. I needed some money. And I'm a tither. I've been a tither. It took me a little bit to get going because I had real strong spirit of mammon on me. Amen. And so I finally got rid of that thing, started tithing. You couldn't stop me now, but it was really hard at first because I had many major money issues. I started tithing, and when you tithe, you can pray like this. I put myself in that front seat of that church at 10 o'clock at night, prayed to about 3:25, and had an encounter with God. But that whole time of prayer, that first part anyway, I'm praying, God, I'm a tither, I'm a giver. I need some money. I need $2,900 or $2,700. I need $2,700, God. I tithe, I give, I'm living right, Lord. Release money, release money. Jesus, I need some money. God, release some greenbacks, some cash, some moolah. Lord, I need money. God, give me money. $2,700. Lord, help me. Help me, God. You can't pray that way. You cannot pray like that unless you're standing in a place knowing that you have the authority to pray like that. I was a tither, a giver. I understand that God's going to release the blessings on my life. And I'm thinking, where is it? So I prayed like that, bold. I fell asleep. I had gotten up for morning prayer. I was exhausted at 10 o'clock at night. I fell asleep on the front row praying, release money, God. Lord, release money. Listen, that can be a biblical thing. Some of you think, I'm not doing it so I can line my pockets or go do something stupid. I'm doing it so I can give glory to God and move forward in the plan he's marked out for me. There's nothing wrong with praying for God to release money to you if you're faithful with what he's already given you. Hello? And so I'm crying out, and all of a sudden at about 3:25, everything changes. I wake up and my prayer has changed to, instead of release money, my prayer has changed. I continued to pray in the spirit. My flesh went to sleep. Some of you have done that driving. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You fell asleep, but you're still seeing things. It's kind of like that. And so I come conscious and I'm praying, Lord, release the true riches of heaven in my life. Release the true riches of heaven. In fact, I started a book. I never finished it. Not yet. Release the true riches of heaven in my life. About 3:25, 3:15, right in there. The glory of God came in that church. I've shared the testimony before. I was in the front. I was in the back. I heard the sound of angels. I heard worship. I got so undone by the Lord. And I'm not sure really how long it lasted. Not long, maybe 15 minutes. I found myself at the end of that experience sort of coming to, walking home. I lived across the street. And when I left the church building, I walked across the street. As I was crossing the street to my driveway, I literally lived across the street. I was in the middle of the road and I realized I was leaving my prayer time. And I had such joy. I stopped and I went, it's done. It's over. And I began to shout, hallelujah. And it was like 3 a.m, you know, so not such a good idea. On the way to 4. And I went up to my house, and I'll never forget my wife. Upon seeing my face, she had cried herself to sleep that night because we were in a bad way if God didn't come through for us. She took one look at me and went, oh, praise God. I said, it's done, baby. She said, praise God. Actually, it's more like. She purrs. She doesn't snore. She purrs. Amen. You've got to be a good steward of what God's entrusted to you. Everybody say, don't fear. But put your trust in God. Worry is used by a spirit of mammon to control you. Can you come play? Worry is used by a spirit of mammon to control you. Again, Matthew 6, don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. Remember that song? Don't worry. about a thing. Oh, that's Bob. Some of his doctrine is really confused, especially the bud smoking thing. But I like the song, that part of it anyway. Because every little thing is going to be all right. Don't worry. Come on, everybody say don't worry. Yeah, live for God. God will take care of you. God will bring you through. Don't be controlled by worry. Don't be controlled by fear. What if, oh my goodness, what? Doubt your doubts. What does that mean? What if, and then you go, I wonder if I believe that. I mean, just confuse all that stuff. Trust God. Everybody say, trust God. Be a giver. Everybody say, be a giver. Two ways you give, in tithes and an offering. So those are the two ways you give. I mean, you give your time, your talent, but it, as far as monetarily, in fact, I gotta correct that. Really, the tithe is received. It really doesn't belong to us. Returned, thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. We return the tithe, the text says in Malachi. Return it. He gives it to you. It's entrusted to you. You return it. It belongs to him. It's not yours. John, you got a wallet? Can I see it? Can I have it just for a second? Thanks. Maybe, you know. Thanks. Get nervous? I know he didn't. Listen, I got his wallet in my back pocket right here. I know the Seeds are a tremendous family. I know he believes in tithing. I believe in tithing too. If God gave me $100 and I had $100 in the wallet, 10 of it goes to God. If I get $100, 10 of it goes to God. That's called tithing right now. Let me just tell you about that $10. That $10 is going to blow up. And if it's still right here, it's going to take a piece of your derriere. Bam. If you give it to God, it's going to rebuke the devourer. It's going to go bam on the enemy's side. It's going to blow up. If it blows up while it's in your pocket, then that's a painful thing. I know y'all a bunch of tithers anyway, but I'm just saying, hashtag just saying, blow up, lose your rear end. Amen. Thank you. Because it belongs to God. I'm almost done. I'm bringing it in for a landing. Austin, here we go. We're landing. The gear is down. We're coming up on the runway. You return the tithe. It does not belong to you. Now, I'm just going to tell you, if you don't tithe, you basically say that you don't believe in God's word. Now, you're not going to swallow that part of the word, not that part. You'll take everything else, but not that part. That's because you're gripped by a spirit of mammon. Are we okay in here? Right? Everybody all right? You say, you dog. That's why you saved the tithe and the offering for last today. That's right. So I'm trying to get you free. I'm trying to help you. We think it's not a big deal. It is a very big deal. You cannot serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. So when you return the tithe, you're saying, I'm not the master of the $50 bill that wants to speak to me. God, I mean, that's not my master. God is my master. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to worship him. I'm not going to bow to the almighty dollar bill. I'm not, it can shout all it wants to. You know something about that 50 bucks when you tithe on it, which, come on, what's 10% of 50 bucks? $5. When you give $5 on 50, how many of you know that thing shuts up? It's then sanctified. It doesn't have a spirit anymore. Can't talk to you anymore. This is good. My only regret is not on a Sunday morning to help some people. That's tithing. Giving is offerings. Now, and what I mean by offerings, there's almsgiving. How many of you walk past somebody, you don't need to raise your hand? That's the kind of giving that nobody should know about. What your right hand does, don't let your left hand know. I mean, you bless them. You know somebody's hurting, so you slip them 100 or you slip them a 20 or you help somebody with gas. It's called almsgiving. You know somebody's in need, so you help them. You hear about a need and you reach out. And you don't stand up there and just say, I help them. Yeah, that's what he's saying. That's wrong. Because then you've already got your reward. You know, but there is a giving that is acknowledged. You see, Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Barnabas gives an offering to the feet of the apostles, and it releases generosity in the book of Acts. It's tremendous. There is times when God will use you to do things a bit like that. If anybody ever tells you that you have to give something like that to the Lord, you run away from that church as fast as you can. Nobody should tell you you have to do. It's a move of the Spirit of God. Oh, you should tithe. We're not hunting anybody down to tell you. I mean, you're a fool if you don't. But nobody should twist your arm to tell you have to give that thing to the thing. If that's weird, that's twisted, and actually they're manipulated by the spirit of mammon, and you should run far away from that. This is good. Everybody say, be a giver. How to overcome the spirit of mammon. Pray and fast is another way. Pray and fast. Yeah, I was going to take you to Genesis. It's Genesis 8, right, Pastor Vince? Seed time and harvest. I think it's Genesis 8. I got that right? Genesis 8, seed time, winter and summer, cold and heat, seed time and harvest shall not cease until the earth passes away. Before I move to the next point about praying and fasting, understand that there is power in a seed. There is power in a seed. And when you look at the book of Genesis, and when God wanted orange trees and wanted apple trees and wanted all kinds of fruit-bearing plants, he rolled it all the way back. Come on, somebody say he rolled it all the way back. He rolled it all the way back to a little itty-bitty seed. And he put the power of all of that in a seed. And finances can be a seed. Your time can be a seed. The words that you speak are seeds. So what you're putting in the ground? You're all farmers. Every one of us are farmers. What are you putting in the ground? To the degree that you sow, even in finances, you will reap. Now, there's irresponsible sowing. I've seen people be irresponsible. God never told them to do it, but they just go ahead and do it, and they mess themselves up. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. Tithing's a no-brainer. You should always tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. Amen. But then sowing. Understand that there's power in sowing seed. Amen. We just took our victory offering. Some of you participated in that. Others of you are praying about what you should do. You can do that tonight if you want to here at a moment. You can do it this coming weekend. But we're believing God. We're believing. We're sowing seed. Amen. Look at 3. God is your security. Pray and fast is a no-brainer. That's a discipline that every believer should have. God is your security. God is your security. I think one of the number one scriptures, and I'm closing. I'm trying to close. I'm trying. Psalm 91. I think it's the number one scripture on coffee mugs around the world. Psalm 91. You go read Psalm 91, it's on more refrigerators and more. I mean, come on, turn there. And we're here. This is my third close. I'm coming to a close. I'm trying. You want to give in this offering at any time, or you want to tithe, you can put your hand up and the ushers will assist you. Psalm 91, let me look at this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust.
Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid. You shall not what? You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my right side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes will you look and see the reward of the wicked. Now watch this. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor plague shall come near your dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. Young lion, the serpent shall trample underfoot. Verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me. This is the Lord speaking. Verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him and set him on high, because he's known what? My name. God is your security, or he isn't. And it's just lip service if you say he's your security, but you don't tithe, you don't give, and you don't trust him like that. That's a lie, and you're living a lie. I'm just trying to help you.
I'm a tither, I'm a tither. Yes, I am. I'm a giver, I'm a giver. Yes, I am. God's my security, an ever-present help in time of trouble. He's a sun and shield. You cannot serve two masters. Now listen, I want to give an offering to Austin. In fact, he came, he didn't ask me to do this, of course not. He didn't even expect to come and get an offering. I want to bless his socks off. I want to bless him. I want to sow into his life. Tremendous anointing. God is going to make some avenues begin to open for you. Even as you've led worship here and just done some different things, there's new avenues of provision that is coming to you. And it's not just music. There's a number of other things that there's a multi-stream release of provision that's coming to you. Even the creativity of your wife. I see the clothes thing again. Clothes. Did I give you that word before? Your wife, right? I'm right, right? Clothing. I see clothing design. And the Lord's going to release provision. There's so much creativity in you as a worshiper, but you're a renaissance. You're really like a renaissance man. And you don't quite see that yet. But you know it. And the Lord's going to bless you in miraculous ways. You own your own house yet? Well, you're going to own your own house. You're going to own your own house. I just see God doing so much for you. And really, you're satisfied. It's all good. You're just going to worship God, and you're not really, there's no covetousness about you. Such a humility. But we want to sow. We want to sow into the ministry of this young man and his wonderful wife, Genevieve, and their children that are not here yet. Lord, thank you. And, you know, if you're not prepared to tithe or whatever, that's okay. I mean, you don't have to give like right now. But I'm saying, don't worship mammon. You can't hold the hand of mammon. When I was in my own dream center, I got a hold of tithing. But the only thing is I didn't have any money. Okay, so let me just help you guys. You want to see some miracles released for you? Okay, think about what you do get. Increase, whatever increase comes your way. I'm talking a fish, okay? 1/10 of the fish goes to the Lord. Whatever increase, any kind of increase that comes your way, give God first fruits. Listen, I rarely lose in Monopoly. You know why? I tithe. In Monopoly, I tithe. You're issued your money. I get, you know, your sum total of your money. I pull out 10% and I tuck it in the church. Amen. I just give it to the Lord on the side. And then, no, for real. And then when people are like, they're going down, I bless them. Hey, man, I just want to help you. Oh, yeah. I own all of Park Avenue and all these high rents and hotels and everything. Yeah, because I'm a tither. That's right. And I do it in the game. I do it every part of my life. Do it. Don't worship mammon. Some of you are like, Monopoly, you're like, you're like the evil slumlord. Oh, you landed on me. You could bless them. They land there again. You know what? I just want to bless you. Praise God. And the game that can be really aggressive and irritating becomes a joy. Just look for people to bless. Hello, that's the way life should be. You know, that's a God principle. All right. We done? I think we're done. Oh, lastly, two more things. Repent of covetousness and ask God for contentment. Ask God to make you content. It's crazy. I've had to battle with this thing. Oh, if I just had this. Be quiet. Can we talk to yourself? Some of you need to talk to yourself. Some of you need to tell yourself to shut up. Be quiet. Is that better? Be quiet. You can talk to yourself like that. All right, we better close. Praise God. You ready, ushers? All right. We're going to bless. We're going to receive the tithes if you're tithing. And if you're giving an offering, it's going to our brother. Amen. Would you come back?
Yes, please.
Awesome. Yeah, we just love you. He's going to be in Anchorage tomorrow night. Pastor Vince, come and tell us where that is. Going to be in Anchorage tomorrow night. It's on 3rd Street. Is that right?
437 East 3rd Street.
The yellow.
It's a yellow building at the intersection of 3rd and Eagle. 7 p.m.
All right, 7 p.m. I'm going. I'm going to preach a little something. He's going to lead worship. We're going to blow it up and have church up in Anchorage tomorrow. Amen. We'd invite you to come and be a part of that. Amen. You ready? Wonderful. Pastor Karen, would you come and just pray? Come on, pray. And listen, if you've been convicted that you got mammon operating in your life, that you've been bound down to that thing, repent. Rebuke it. Hello? That's what you do with a message like this. You don't just go, well, that's not me. I don't have that. No. Repent and start afresh. Worship God with all your heart.
Lord, we just thank you so much for your generosity, God. Lord, and that your ways are not our ways. And Lord, we just rebuke a spirit of mammon tonight. And Lord, we just pray for a release of blessing, even as your people give. Lord, let blessings be released. We thank you that you rebuke the devourer. We thank you for all the blessings of being in covenant with you. You're such a faithful God. You're such a faithful God. And Lord, we just thank you for those who've given tonight, and we pray that you would bless Austin and Genevieve and all that you have in mind for them, God, that you would accomplish it in and through them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let me add this. Come on, stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. And say, I will not yield to fear.
I will not worry.
Because fundamentally, worry is sin. I trust in God. I trust in God. Some trust in horses. And some trust in chariots. I trust in the name of the Lord our God. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Ushers, go ahead. Hallelujah. Take someone by the hand. I hope you got something from God. I did. Amen. I just got convicted. Little things I saw, little attitudes that creep up. God, watch out. Come on. We're worshiping God. Amen. Amen. Come on. He knows how to provide for you. He knows what you need right when you need it. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Father, bless your people. Cause your face to shine upon them. Lift up your countenance towards them. Be gracious to them. Keep them. Give them peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Kings Chapel, Alaska, and Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion is making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's life call and help us to be the personal, powerful, and permeating church God's called us to be. Get in touch with us anytime at 907-357-2065, 907-357-2065, or online at kcalaska.com, kcalaska.com. Friend us on Facebook and follow Pastor Daniel's tweets at Alaska Revival.